All right, fine. I'll be a gracious host. How you doing?
Little Mermaid is the scariest Disney movie by far, though.
Why the hell is Ace Blade in your Kickstarter?
Some comics. I'm getting controversial today. We're going to get controversial today with...
My proudest moment is this interview and being able to talk to you two.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Taurus Comics, in collaboration with Fourth Wall Productions, respectfully brings to you the 109th episode of the Four Tales podcast. I'm your host, Kyron Silva from Taurus Comics. Across the way is the great essayist of Ace Blade, Danny J. Quick, and together we are your two award-winning blurred comic creators here to help you find your next favorite comic. We are live on the Age of the Geekdom Network via Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. TikTok today? No?
And TikTok
today. Okay. Kick, my understanding. So if you're listening or watching us live, thank you for your support. But don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and review this podcast, because all your positive reviews and interactions help us reach a bigger audience.
When did we get a Kick account?
Mike said we have a Kick account for Age of Geekdom.
Oh, okay. Nice. Hey, I like it.
Okay. I don't know. All right. You said you want to start off with this, so let's start off with this.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we got 1 hour left on the request Kickstarter. We still need $4,000, but it's possible. It's possible to do.
I mean, you get some high backing people somewhere in the world that can just drop four stacks on that and be good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we just all recently talked to, you know, Colin Kaepernick. So, you know, maybe he'll jump in there at the last moment and be like, you know what? Bless the campaign with 4K, you know. Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, some independently wealthy other creators will jump in, you know, or, you know, maybe we'll get a surge online of, you know, 40 people who want to jump, throw in $100 a piece, you know. But either way, you know, I think we did a good job with this campaign. See, somebody just back right now. I just saw it go up.
There you go.
There we go. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to everybody who pledged and everybody who's been sharing. Thank y'all, man. We really appreciate it. The crowdfunding is hard, no matter what. I just did a post talking about it. It's difficult. For most of us anyway, but our guest that we have on today is killing it. Her and her team have been killing it on all the crowdfunding platforms. I think they are on BackerKit right now with their
product. Talk about with BackerKit.
Yeah, that's one of the things with our guest today. We have, if you're ready to bring her on, Sarah White in the building from Laguna Studios. How you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm glad that you moved your start date or start time to a little later, because I'm not functional at 9 o'clock. I'm just not.
Most of us aren't, especially on a Saturday. This is supposed to be the day that you can sleep in and everything. And, you know, I had Kyron up at 7 a.m. I was like, you know what? Let's fix that, Kyron.
Let's be honest. I had to be up at 6 a.m. to prepare for the 7 a.m. show. That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. But, you know, it was worth it, man. We did some great things with those first four seasons. But now, you know, it's more accessible to especially our West Coast and Central Time folks. So, you know, we're happy to move it. But Sarah, you know, anybody who follows us would definitely know about you, Lori and Laguna Studios. But if they don't, give us a background on you, how long you've been creating, and you know, just what you're working on now.
Oh, well, how long have I been creating? I think always. Mm-hmm. You know, since we were old enough to pick up a pencil, right? We've been doing some stuff. But as far as comics goes, I think maybe 10 years now I've been involved in some way.
Nice.
Did not really have a background in comics at all, but Lori texted me and was like, what do you know about lettering? Because they had an emergency lettering situation. I was like, I don't know, it seems pretty easy. I was already, I had already been doing graphic design for a bit. So I was like, how much different could it possibly be? And that's how I ended up sticking around. Like, I just, they didn't kick me back out after the situation was resolved. So I stayed and it was fine. And I've been doing this stuff ever since then.
That means you must have did a good job. I think
that's what Danny and I say about Agents of Geekdom. You guys haven't kicked us out yet, so we must be doing a good job.
Exactly.
Like, we don't listen to you guys in the chat. We just
show up. We just show up and do it, and then our show, and then hopefully we got everything right. But no, man, I think that's something that we share. We both have a background in graphic design, and that's why I thought, you know, the same thing. I was like, oh, you know, I can letter these comics. You know, this is something I can do. Of course, it was a little harder than I initially thought it would be. And there's a small learning curve for lettering in comics, but you know,
it's not just putting letters into a bubble. That's right. What I thought. But there's a little more to it than that. But if you already have a background, then it's not so hard to pick up. I think if somebody didn't know how to, you know, say use Illustrator, for example, that might be a bit more of a problem. But
that's the big thing. Having the expertise in the software, knowing the tools, I guess you'd say, made it a lot easier for me, and I'm guessing for you too. So, but no, we're glad to have you on. How long? I know Laguna Studios started kind of recently. How long? Tell us about the name Laguna Studios and you know, how y'all got your start.
Yeah. So we had personal things happened with the people who, because, you know, obviously I used to be Unlikely Hero Studios, and some personal stuff happened with them, and it just wasn't a good fit anymore. And Lori and I talked a bunch about it and decided that we'd strike out and do our own studio. And we did that in August of 2023. So Laguna Studios itself is technically pretty new, but we've been doing, you know, Unlikely Hero Studios before that was 13, 14 years old. So we've been doing it for a while via them. But
man, I remember dang on, what was the name of the Heroes book that y'all had?
Surgeon.
No, not the Surgeon. Super. Just Super. It was so amazing. I remember I think Lori sent me some copies back when I had the shop to sell in the store. And the Surgeon is one of my favorite indie comics. You know, so y'all do great work. You do amazing things. You tell good stories. You always put together great teams for your projects too. But the project that you guys have funding now, I think is just amazing. Like, I think y'all did it at the right time. I think it just looks amazing. It's just a great project all around. So I want the expertise. I want to come to you and find out some stuff, because as you saw earlier, we had, you know, trouble getting our latest project funded on Kickstarter. I want to know about, you know, this project, how you decided to go with this one, and of course the BackerKit platform and their crowdfunding methods. What's the differences between, you know, something like Kickstarter or Patreon or, you know, GoFundMe? Well,
before we get that deep into it, let's just ask her what it is she's bring that to the show.
That's right.
Like, you're getting too far into the interview. We need to start at the beginning.
I'm trying to get there.
What is it you're trying to show today?
Well, we have our X Series attire and pins, and you know, it's the homage to your favorite 90s, you know, mutant heroes, and it's they're hoodies. I mean, it doesn't get a lot. You can't be more basic than that, right? They're hoodies, and
okay. And I need you to wait. I need you to go back.
Okay.
You said X attire, but I need you to say it correctly with the pins. What's the actual right way to say the pins?
The astonishing pins.
There you go.
Ooh, I love it.
All right. These actually look great. These are great.
The pins are not everybody's cup of tea. We have learned this.
Really?
A lot of people started to give us a lot of crap about being sexist. And it's like, but they're all like, it's a butt. It doesn't have a gender. It's just a butt.
And boy butts. There's
yeah. Everybody's butts are in there. Everybody's butts are in there.
I thought I was
all getting butt hurt.
It exactly.
Yeah.
It started out from that, you know, that Rogue meme about the way that she was angled and her butt was sticking out, and everybody lost their damn minds. And I'm not even sure how old that is, but so
super old.
Yeah. Like how old that picture is, but like the meme happened fairly recently, yeah. And so it just seemed like a funny play on that meme.
Okay.
And yeah, okay. And if you don't like the pins, that's cool. It was just meant to be a joke. There's nothing sexist about it. It was just a joke.
Yeah. And but you're doing cards too, right? I know I saw a post with some physical cards. That's part of the campaign also, right?
Physical cards.
I saw somebody had the collector's cards. I want to say you posted a picture of them in a binder, I believe. Am I mistaken?
Oh, yeah. I don't think those are available in the campaign.
Okay.
They were just some inspiration and yeah, showing off, I guess. Mm-hmm. Those are not my cards. I don't have any cards.
Okay.
But yeah, like the inspiration for a lot of these designs and and yeah, like that's I actually don't know that much about the source material. So I've been learning.
I'm sorry. Okay, so we're gonna have to kick Sarah out. She doesn't know about the source material. This is just not gonna happen on my show.
That's terrible. Why are you kicking all of our guests off the show? This is like the third time this season you kick somebody off the show.
Should I bring her back on then?
Bring Sarah back, Kyron. Fine. Jeez, come on now.
Rude.
Give her a chance.
And you want me to tell you how we use backer kit? And no, rude.
See, excuse him.
I will talk to Danny privately.
Okay. Okay.
Not going to tell Kyron anymore. His butler can help him.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
My butler has been annoying recently. He doesn't do anything. He's just lazy.
Terrible. Terrible. No. It's okay. But
I didn't because as a kid we didn't have any damn TV channels, so I didn't get to watch anything but Disney because that's what came in on the and then they took Disney away and put it on satellite, so finally, right. But yeah, it was more of a WB before it was the WB. It was the WB, and then it changed. The WB, I watched the cartoons on WB and on Saturday morning. So if it wasn't on there, I probably didn't get to see much of it.
See, Kyron, it was an access issue. Come on now, you can't fault Sarah because she didn't have access. You know,
now,
I didn't.
If you want to quiz me on like John Wayne movies, I know a lot about John Wayne movies because that's what my dad loved to watch when I was a kid.
Okay,
so that's what I know about.
See, Kyron, see. you know, I infamously didn't read comic books at all until I became an adult because I didn't have comic book stores, you know? I didn't have anywhere to get them. You know,
same. Until I didn't. My cousin had some comics and it was mostly Superman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pick it up because it looked pretty and then I'd try to read it and understand what the hell was going on. I was like, I'm missing a whole bunch of story here. I don't know what's happening. So I would just look at the pictures and never really absorbed any of the story.
Yeah.
So they're complicated. They get
Superman is one of those that's got a lot of they do a lot of reboots, of course, you know, and try to bring it back, but you know, it's all there's so many villains and different versions and cousins and all kinds of stuff. So
yeah.
But you know,
a lot going on.
But now
I like to look at the pictures. That's what I did.
For sure.
Now you guys are killing this though with this attire and pins. I mean,
we figured it would do pretty well, but we weren't figuring it was going to do $35,000 well. Yeah. Like we thought maybe half that would be like, we were like, oh, we'll get maybe 20,000 by the end of the month. And this is crazy that it's doing so well. And, I know, Lori's partner is the one who designed most of this stuff with, like they were messing with it together and they have already run out of like all the designs that they had made are already used now. So, I mean, not like there's not enough source material. There's plenty of source material, right?
For sure. Yes.
But yeah, there's definitely the stuff that was already made. Cause nobody thought that we were going to need that much stuff. Turns out like, yeah, there's so much. And it's gotten an overwhelmingly positive. You know, the people that are pissed off about the butt pins are in the minority.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious. Were you, in the early discussions before you started this, were you considering the release of this new show that just came out, and you know, kind of timing it up with that, or was that a coincidence, or what were the early conversations about?
It was I guess it was timed. We kind of wanted to do it around that time because it was because like this happened. I originally my understanding is that they were just messing around playing with this new template, and mm-hmm. that this whole idea had blossomed around that. And okay. then they were like, oh, the new show is happening. We should make this a thing for the new show. And Lori, well, and I actually, I'll be honest, I expressed skepticism that we could actually make that happen in such a short amount of time, because we're talking like a month ago.
Wow.
So maybe it was a little more than a month, but like I was like, I don't know how we're going to be able to do this in such with like, cause you know how hard it is to put together Kickstarters and stuff. Yeah, but it's a lot of work, and BackerKit is very different from, I mean, there's a lot, like the basic setup is similar, but there's a lot that's different about BackerKit. Like there's a community tab on the Kickstarter or the BackerKit page where you can go and vote in polls and leave comments and stuff, and we could put up polls. There is a section we can embed live streams in there. Mm-hmm. And then when you have a live stream, the day that you have the live stream, BackerKit puts you on the front page.
Wow. So are we on the front page right now?
I don't know. I sent over the information that we needed to put our stuff on there, but I don't know if it happened. I'm going to say yeah. Oh,
yeah, sure. We're on it. Yeah, sure. No, I think that's great. I think there's a lot of these crowdfunding platforms that are doing really innovative things. And, you know, just like I always tell people with like social media platforms, like you have to find the one that's best for you. So, you know, I do very
well. You said that for me.
Did I?
Yeah, I've been saying that. I told you that.
Oh, well, like you've been saying.
It is very true. It is very, and right now, well, okay, right up until Brandon Sanderson's new book broke the whole BackerKit platform for a couple of hours, mm-hmm. we had been under, you know, we had been in the mindset that BackerKit's a great place to run merchandise campaigns, not so much for books. But I'm hoping with the huge, like there's literally 20,000 backers on Brandon Sanderson's campaign, and he's made tens of millions of dollars at this point. So I'm hoping that means that we can take a chance and run a book on it. We're gonna be doing that. Maybe even this year we might be doing a book on BackerKit, because there's just I love Kickstarter, I do, and it's been very good to us, but BackerKit's kind of putting them to shame right now. It's very easy to use. If you haven't, so anybody watching that hasn't actually built a Kickstarter campaign, they have changed it a lot. So like now you need like three different graphics for each reward tier, right? Like you need to make three different images, just, and then you have to fill in everything, fill in, which the text stuff is stuff that you have to figure out anyway, but like three different images is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to upload them separately. Yeah. Each image needs to be uploaded in a separate place, and half the time their damn uploader breaks. It's a whole ordeal getting the stuff built. So, and BackerKit's been easier in that respect.
Mm. I think so, BackerKit, whoever's running BackerKit, I think they did a great job of getting, you know, kind of the information. You know, I'm pretty sure Lori was the one who introduced us to BackerKit. Also, me and Morgan used it to do, you know, just the back end, the fulfillment stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, we were fulfilling through BackerKit, and it made it so much easier
to
fulfill. Like fulfillment is the worst part of all of comics to me.
Yes,
the most stressful, I think, too. Like, yeah, it's stressful waiting for your campaign to fund, but like, oh my god, screwing up an order.
Right.
So horrible.
Trying to keep everything aligned and make sure all the rewards are going to the right people. That is a lot of work that people don't think about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And BackerKit made that a lot easier. But then also, I think during that time, they were, of course, collecting information. They were doing research and finding, you know, what things people liked the most, what, you know, made things easier for people. And then once they launched the ability to actually crowdfund on there, I think they had a really good, you know, kind of base for what people wanted and what, you know, the actual users would do with the platform. And then, of course, to get somebody like Brandon Sanderson on there kills.
Lori has a gift of being, like, she has managed to become friends with so many people at Kickstarter and BackerKit, and she had a conversation about, like, about them recruiting Brandon Sanderson and how, like, it's fascinating. I'm not allowed to talk to you about any of it, but you know, like, it was just fascinating about hearing that's like, that's how passionate they are about their platform too, because, like, they went out there and they got the guy who broke Kickstarter and then invited him over and, you know, wooed him over to BackerKit so that he could then break BackerKit.
Right. Hey, I love it. I love the whole thing. And whatever it takes to make it easier for people to create, you know, I'm all for it. So even though crowdfunding can be stressful, it's an integral part of making comics for us indies, or making things, you know, for people, you know, who may not be working at Marvel or DC, or, you know, at Nike, or, you know, industrial logistics, or whatever it is that you want to create, to have a platform where people can come and invest in, and, you know, kind of get in on the front end to help you make those things. I'm all for it, you know, so that's great.
We have a question of, what kind of podcast is this, from Coffee 7 on Kick? We are the Four Tales podcast, Coffee 7. We interview comic creators and writers, artists, things like that around the world every Saturday at this time. So glad you can join us. And today we have the amazing Sarah White from Laguna Studios. Sarah, you mentioned something about upcoming projects. What can you tell us about that?
We actually have one launching on Monday, another thing. So
are you done with all the graphics for that one that's launching on Monday?
Obviously not. What kind of independent creator would I be if I was ready before the thing launched?
Right. Oh my goodness.
No, we actually, most of what has to be done yet is just that, you know, sitting and uploading to three different places, but I didn't actually finish all of the graphics. I've got, like I said, I'm over three quarters done now. And I think Lori is going to upload stuff, because she had been uploading as I was finishing. I would make a bunch and I would dump them into the Google Drive, and then she would add them. Excuse me. And then yeah, like last night I was working on them and I fell asleep on the couch. I was like, you know, that's the downside to using a laptop, because, like, you can sit comfortably wherever and just work, but the downside is that if you're sitting comfortably, then you can also fall asleep comfortably.
Right. So is this a book project? Is it a
comic? And yeah, it is a comic. It is a an erotic comic called Death's Kiss. And
what? You guys are making an erotic comic? What? That's unusual.
I know. Isn't it?
Tyrant is terrible.
Well, I mean, to be technical, we didn't make it. we are publishing it. And Russell Nolte and SK Prince made it.
Okay.
And it's been illustrated by Ishan Lee, and she is amazing. It's so pretty. And it is, I mean, yeah, there are sexy parts in it, but it is a really good story. Like, I just saw somebody post on, I don't remember which place, but this morning I saw somebody post on a social media about how they're sick of erotic comics, and if that's all you're making, then I'm probably going to unfollow you. And I was like,
why?
Bye.
I mean, I have seen an increase in erotic comics, but if you don't like it, you don't have to back it. You don't have to read it. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, the thing that because we've been talking about doing an erotic comic for 3 years now. And the thing that Lori and I were like, the thing that we need to do is make sure it's a good story. It can't just be sex. Like, that's not what we wanted, because a lot of these comics that we have seen, that's all that they're shoehorning a story into sex. And that's not what we want. We want a natural flow of romantic moments happening within a good story. We don't want to shoehorn anything into anything. So, and now we've actually, so we published Heart Eater in September. Last fall, September, I think. And we got a pretty positive response on that. And, you know, the first issue of any comic is, like, it's world building. You don't get to see a whole lot of exciting, adventurous stuff happening yet. But I think we set it up pretty well. We got a lot of positive feedback, and that now we're doing Death's Kiss, which is it's one of those I kept saying it's one of those stories that you start. It really it made my own imagination. I'm like sitting here going, well, what happens with this? And I had like five different spinoffs happening in fan fiction after I finished reading it. So it's a really intriguing story.
I know Russ has done great things on Kickstarter. He's great with bringing a crowd to projects. I see his emails all the time. Mm-hmm. And I know he's a great storyteller. So I can imagine that this one's going to be, I haven't seen any visuals from it yet, but I can imagine that it's going to be great. So we'll be looking forward to it. You said it's launching on Monday on Kickstarter.
Monday. Yep. Death. We're actually going to have a live stream launch party, and my live stream, which is also on Agents of Geekdom, is actually, we're going to run it a little, we're going to run a double live stream thing and talk about, we're going to launch Death's Kiss and then talk about that for a bit on Agents of Geekdom here. So that's how you'll know when we're launching, is when you see that live stream.
I feel like that live stream should be called like double entendre, double penetration, something sexually related. I don't know why.
What?
I'm just saying.
I was thinking about calling it Death's Kiss live stream launch
party. No, no. No.
Kyrie, you're fired, bro.
And he kicked me out, man, for not knowing some stuff.
This guy.
Find it astonishing that you didn't know about more in source material. That's all.
So, I just found it. I just found it. Death's Kiss, a supernatural romance comic for readers 18 plus. Already got 675 followers on the project. So I'm sure.
SK Prince is a very huge romance novelist. Wanting to commit one of her stories to the comic book format. So nice. This was what were her first foray. And we've been talking with her, and she's really fun and really, really great to work with. So, I mean, I'm not like, we can't rule out future projects where we collaborate with her.
Nice. I know y'all are going to do a great job, and I look forward to continued success. Are y'all taking, more submissions at Laguna Studios?
You're always welcome to send stuff in.
I got some ideas.
He's got this character called Ace Knife that he wants to submit to you.
Yeah, I got some good ones.
Interesting. Ace Bullet. I'm gonna have to hear more, but
Ace Bullet.
Ace Bullet. Hey, I think that will go. I think Ace Bullet will work.
That's better than Club Bat.
I like Club Bat. Club Bat is a funny guy, even though he already got his bat broken in the first appearance. That was, that was crazy. But anyways, so now is the time. Sarah, you know how this goes. You've seen the show. It's time for quick takes.
Kyrie, have you seen our show before?
I don't see your show live very often, that's for sure. But okay. I mean, I've watched, yes.
All right, so
sometimes.
So, for anyone in the audience who may not have seen Quick Takes, this is a rapid fire Q&A session where we grill our guests on their deepest, darkest secrets that we found on the internet. And all in hopes of getting our audience to know you a little bit better. So, we got five questions. You're going to have 45 seconds each to answer them off the top of your head. And here we go. Question number one. Why do people hate cats?
Because they're wrong. Isn't that it? Because they're wrong.
What is it about people that, just don't like cats, man? I know I'm a dog person, but I don't mind cats. But I know you're a cat lover, right?
I am, yes. I think that people don't like cats because cats don't follow the same rules that dogs do. Dogs do everything to please their people, and cats don't give a shit if you're happy or not. So you have to earn a cat's respect, but a dog just gives it to you implicitly.
Dogs just give it up, yeah. Okay, dogs are easy, sure.
Dogs are easier. Right.
Question number two. In 45 seconds, if there is somebody who's new to crowdfunding, what would be your crowdfunding tips to someone in 45 seconds?
Research. Research the hell out of what you're doing before you do it. Over prepare is good. Like, you don't want to go in there thinking you are just going to wing it, because that's a bad way to do it. Figure out how you're going to advertise. That's always difficult, and that's probably the hardest part of getting people to fund your campaign is figuring out how to make your stuff get in front of other people's eyes. What else?
That's a good one.
And networking is also important. I think you should probably, before you do your stuff, you should probably get out there and find other people who have already done it, make friends with them, find out where they find their people, and try to make as many friends as you can to get that networking happening.
Okay. I like it. I love it. Research, marketing, networking. I love it. Great advice. All right. Question number three. Since we've got the X series that is X inspired, I want to know in 45 seconds, what do you think are the other best brands in comics that could do well in an inspiration?
Like anything from the MCU, probably, right? That's doing well in the MCU right now. Let's see. I mean, yeah, the DC stuff has kind of been flagging a bit. So, but like, obviously people still love them. So I'd have to say, you know, like, if you wanted to take inspiration from Batman, you're not going to go wrong. Let's see, who else? God, I like a lot of the Dark Horse stuff too.
I think people could get away with Spider-Man too now, especially since the Spider-Verse has so many different ones. You wouldn't really know if it was part of Spider-Man or not.
That's true. All the multiverse stuff. Like, you could make up your own thing and never even get close to being in trouble for copyright infringement with that. Like, it wouldn't have to be inspired by it. It's just like, it's in an alternate universe. There's no copyright on alternate universes.
Universe 7323. You don't know. Okay. All right. So question number four. And this one, I love perler beads. I used to love doing the perler beads with my children, but it's so tedious. So are you still doing the perler beads? And what are the best and worst parts of doing them?
I do still do perler bead stuff. The best part is that I like to set up my table and put on a movie and just make whatever I'm making. The worst part is now getting to the point of coming up with new ideas. I just keep doing the same stuff over and over again because that's what everybody likes. Mm. It is messy. The longer you do it, the better you get at containing the mess, but it is messy. Yeah, and definitely. The worst part is definitely when you get like 90% done with a really huge project and then you go to stand up and admire your work and you slam your hips into the table and you destroy the whole damn thing. Many curse words, many tears happen. But
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely still fun though. I mean, if you are good at being able to turn off your brain for a like have you ever been driving and just kind of tuned out the world and just like it's kind of the same thing where it kind of resets your brain a little bit. At least it does for me.
Yeah, I love it. Kyron, you look confused. What's up?
I was trying to figure out what the hell a perler bead was, and I was like, "That's what those things." I just looked it up. I'm like, "That's what those things are called." I never knew they had a name.
Yeah, perler beads are amazing.
Perler bead sprites is the finished product is a sprite.
I knew a sprite. I knew the sprites, but I didn't know they were called perler beads. So
yeah, well, there are several different brands. I think Perler is the most recognizable one, but there's like Hama and Art Cow too, so they're not the only one.
Absolutely. All right. So question number five, we always have our guests do a top five list off the top of their head because we have another show. We have another show called Top 5 Live that we do with Morgan Iverson and Javon Stokes. So your top five lists, even though you said you did not know the source material, I want to know, what are your top five cartoons of all time?
Top five cartoons? Ooh, this is going to date me. Now everybody's going to know how old I am. Uh-oh. I like I like My Little Pony, and I like Gummy Bears, and I like Care Bears. I also like Freakazoid. And, ooh, what's the fifth? God, I mean, Avatar The Last Airbender. I just
that's a good one.
Love that show.
Good one.
Is that five?
Yeah, that's five. So for Avatar to make your list when you got, you know, mostly 80s, 90s comics, that's high praise, because that's a great show. I love Avatar The Last Airbender too. Do you prefer Aang or Korra? Korra or Aang?
I don't know. I mean, I guess Aang, because he was the first one, but Korra is really, I did not like Korra at first, but she won me over. And I think I have more respect for Korra than I do for Aang. But that's also not fair, because we make Korra when she's basically an adult, and we make Aang when he's 12 years old and he just got defrosted from an iceberg. Right.
Korra had better villains for me. Like the villains in Korra were top notch.
I was allowed to expand and become something, whereas they sort of kept Aang the same throughout the entire series.
Yeah. They did. I think that what was kind of cool with Aang was how he had this from the beginning where he said, I don't want to kill, because he knew right away, I don't want to have to kill the Fire Lord, and he knew that he might have to. And I think that it was glossed over a little too much about why he wanted to do that, because like that was the one thing he had left. Everything else in his entire world was gone and had been for 100 years. Mm-hmm. And the one thing he had left was to not kill. That's all he wanted to do, was be able to hang on to that one last value of his. And everybody was telling him, even his previous incarnations of himself were telling him, you have to. And then he figured out a way to not do that. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then passed it on too, because like Korra can now pass that to the next avatar and so on. And it's a very powerful tool for an avatar to have.
I love the evolution and all the from the beginning to the end, just in the bending, they went from just being able to do water, then you got blood bending, you had lightning, fire, you know, you had the
lava.
Yeah, it was crazy. So steel, metal bend, like it was, I really enjoyed that. So, well, thank you for doing that. That was our quick takes this week, sponsored by.
I got you. This week's quick takes is sponsored by Danny's Workshop at the Durham Library. That's happening
in an hour.
Like an hour?
So I'm not going to make it.
Yeah. Oh, you might, might be able
to make it. You know what? If you don't make his, you can come to Empire's Comics Vault for my workshop today also.
There we go. That'll probably be closer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why did we have both workshops on the same day?
Hey, I like it. See, that means the show is working. That means somebody's doing something right.
Not me.
Nice.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate you being on. This has been a fun time. We want to make sure all our listeners and viewers follow you and Laguna Studios and everything. So what is the best location that people can check you guys out and keep up with you social media-wise?
We're most active on Facebook right now. Bound to change at some point, I'm sure. But right now it's Facebook, and it's at Laguna Studios Comics. Or you can just go to our website, which is lagunastudios.net. There we go. But most of the social media places is at Laguna Studios Comics.
I love it.
Danny, where can people check you out?
Best place to find me is our website, fourthwallpros.com. We're now on Patreon, patreon.com/aceblade. And at the Ace Blade on all social media platforms. Kyra, where can people find you?
Are there comics that you can find on your Patreon?
You can get the digital comics, and you can get all our digital comics on Patreon, and you can get the Amazing Adventures of Ace Blade, which will be starting back up pretty soon.
Oh, okay. All right. You can find me at who writes the Amazing Adventures of Ace Blade?
I write it, but. The artist is this guy right here, Kyron Silva. Kyron doesn't know. Kyron and Wally are like my two favorite artists. Like anytime I have an idea for something, it's one of them that I go to first. And if they tell me, you know, they don't want to do it, then I'll go find somebody else.
All right. You can find me at TaurusComics.com. I am on all social media platforms at TaurusComics. And if this is your first time checking out this podcast, you can go to our website. That is 4talespodcast.com. That is the number 4, TALESpodcast.com. You can go back, listen to our previous episodes, buy merchandise, support us financially there. But definitely make sure, though, you join us next week where we're going to have Harold Peat from New Horizon Comics on. We're talking about everything that he's working on. And if you want to maybe keep up with the Age of Geekdom Network, you can check out Sarah's show. She has an amazing show. So what day is it? What day and time is that on, Cher?
Excuse me. That is Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. All right. Well, everybody, until next time, sayonara, goodbye, bye. And please take care of yourselves.
Your top 5 fish.